Okay, last week I had started a new series on servant, being a servant. Jesus' call for us to be a servant and slave and how that's the passion of Jesus. And so today we're going to continue on that. And today we're going to focus in a little bit on what gets in the way. But let me recap last week kind of quickly in case you weren't here. As I mentioned, we started looking at this call of Jesus to be a servant and a slave. And we started that by looking at Matthew 20. And we really focused in on verses 26 and 27 that say, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave." And we kind of focused in on those, but I had mentioned that this command of Jesus that we must be servant and slave comes right after James and John's mother comes to Jesus and says, "Hey, let my son sit on your right and on your left." And so they were looking for the places of honor and places of authority, and Jesus is looking to the cross. You know, he's got his eye on the cross, but they're looking for greatness as the world would define it. And so he goes into this little command then to be servant and slave. And we had mentioned that the word servant in the NIV is the Greek word deaconos, from where we get our English word deacon. Now, the primary word, or primary meaning of this word deacon is one who serves others. The very opposite of what Jesus has just witnessed with these James and John and their mother, and then what he talked about with the Gentile rulers. Then the second word there, when he says that we must be the slave, that's the Greek word doulos. And it means slave or bondservant. Okay? And there were two other definitions that were very important that I want to remind you of. So for this Greek word doulos, it means slave or bondservant. It also means one who gives himself up to another's will, which implies consent, right? And the other definition is devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interest. So this is a slavery of choice. I made the point last week, and I want to make it again. So often when we hear the word slave, we can only think about the atrocity that was American slavery, where we brutalized African people. That's not the slavery that's being referred to here. The slavery that's being referred to here is a bondservant, where you make yourself a slave to someone of your own will. And that's what Jesus is calling us here to. Now, today, I want to talk about what gets in the way. What gets in the way of this call? Because as we look at the church in general around us, we don't necessarily see a lot of servant and slave kind of thinking and mentality. And as we look at our own personal lives, maybe we don't see that as much as we should. You know, as we were coming out of the summer, I had planned on doing one message on this idea of being a servant. And as I was thinking about that a couple weeks in advance, I had a dream one night, and it was really weird. I have these dreams sometimes. Well, I'll dream the same dream the whole night. It's not just like one short little dream. I dreamt the entire night of this idea of being a servant and slave. And Jesus, throughout that dream, was showing me how important this is. Like, we got to get this right. We got to figure out what gets in the way, because his call to us to be servant and slave is really important. He's really serious about this. And so we're gonna take a look at this today. As we think about what gets in the way, I see three key reasons. And we'll spend a little time looking at these three reasons. And I think Luke 17 will help us get a grip on what these things are that get in the way. So if you haven't already, turn in your Bibles to Luke 17. And we're going to start in verse 7. It's a small little story that is often overlooked. But Luke 17, starting in verse 7, says this. "Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now, sit down and eat'? Would he not rather say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink.' Would he thank the servant because he had done what he did, what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" Now, the NIV here uses the word servant, but in the original language Greek, it's the word doulos, slave. Let me read it to you again from the NASB, which captures that. "But which of you, having a slave, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come immediately and sit down to eat'? But will he not say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, clothe yourself and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink. He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded, you say, we are unworthy slaves, we have done only that which we ought to have done. So again, he's using the word slave here, doulos, but again, it's slavery of choice. It's slavery of choice. He has chosen to go into this. Now, the first thing that I think that gets in the way of people being able to come to this level of servant and slave is identity. I talk about that a lot, but it comes back to identity. You remember the two lies? I talk about them all the time. Satan only has two lies. He can package those lies a million different ways, but it always comes down to the same two lies. I always say it's like cookies. If you want to buy a package of cookies, you go into the cookie aisle of the store, and there's 1,000 different varieties of cookies, everything from pecan sandies to coconut macaroons. But they're all cookies. Satan only has two lies, but he packages them 1,000 different ways to try to trick us, right? The two lies are, is God good, and who am I, or who are you? We see it in Genesis, right? Satan comes in to the garden, and he comes up to Eve, and he says, did God really say not to eat from that? I think God's holding out on you. I think that maybe God's not good, and he's trying to withhold something from you. So that's where we see lie number one, is God good when he tempts Eve? Lie number two is in the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus came to set right what had been wrong back in the Garden of Eden. And so in the temptation of Jesus, Satan shows up again and calls up to Jesus and says, who do you think you are? You really think you're the Son of God? If so, then do this. And so he's calling into question Jesus' identity. And so Satan still does the same thing to us all the time. He'll whisper in our ear, is God really good? Is God really going to take care of you? Is he really going to look out for you? Or Satan will come to you and go, who do you think you are? All saved and righteous in Christ. Who do you think you are? And so he's still plying those two lies to us. But if we're struggling with either one of those lies, it's going to be really hard for us to be a servant or a slave the way Jesus has called us to. So this first issue of identity is really largely tied to the first lie, is God good? When I can't fully identify with Christ and with his goodness, it will affect the way I serve. Let me show you what I mean. This is what it looks like when it goes wrong, when my identity is not right. When my identity is not right and when I don't understand the goodness of God, I will serve for the attention that I get.
Or worse.
But when I serve for the attention I get, it goes wrong rather quick. See, the attention that I'm getting covers over my insecurity. The attention I get is covering over that lack of identity. But the attention I get is also masking my ability to believe, is God good? Because I'm serving for me, I'm serving for attention. And that's what Jesus is talking about in this passage in Luke 17. A true doulos, a slave, doesn't look for attention. It's not in the nature of the position. A master wouldn't give a slave praise for doing his job. And neither should a slave look for attention. It's just not how that doulos works. He's saying, you're a bondservant. You've given yourself over to this. You don't do it for the attention. And yet when my identity is not right, when I'm questioning the goodness of God, I serve for me. I serve to get attention because it makes me feel better. It covers over my insecurity. Maybe this illustration helps. Maybe it doesn't. You know, here in Crystal Lake, for example, I know for sure the building code requires that all of the electrical work in the walls be run in pipe called conduit. I tried to find a piece of conduit this morning, and I couldn't find a small one. I could only find big pieces, and I didn't want to cut it. So now, think about how ridiculous it would be if you had a lamp, and you went over to the outlet, and you plugged the lamp into the outlet, and you thought to yourself, thank God that conduit's in the wall. That really helped turn on my light. The conduit has nothing to do with it. It's the wire and the electricity flowing through the wire that turns on the light. The conduit just acts as a conduit to bring to the outlet, the wire, but the electricity in the wire does the job. So when I'm serving someone, I'm not like the conduit going, hey, look at me, man, I served you. Amen. It's God working in me like the electricity working in the wire. It's God working through me. I'm just the conduit. I'm just the conduit. God, Holy Spirit, working through me, is ministering, is serving. I'm the conduit. But we don't ever plug in a light and go, man, I'm so thankful for conduit. Right? Okay, maybe that helped. Another way that serving with wrong identity goes wrong is thinking that I will get more favor from God. Like, if I serve, then God's going to notice me, and I'll have more favor with God. And, of course, this is a lie from the enemy, because you got all the favor that you could possibly get at the cross of Jesus Christ. There's nothing else that could give you more favor than his cross. Right? Everything that you could possibly ever need or want has been given to you in the cross of Jesus Christ. We can't earn more favor. We can't. Verse 10 there says, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. We're just doing what ought to have been done. We can't do it for favor. There's no more favor to be had. We serve by choice because that's what Jesus calls us to. So there's this great need then to be able to serve at the level of diakonos, the level of doulos, to press into Jesus. To really press into him and to let him establish firmly in us his goodness. Because when I understand and when I see his goodness, then that frees me up to be able to serve, because I'm not serving for attention, I'm not serving to try to win favor, I'm just serving because I'm free to do that. Right? Now, one more way that this manifests itself, and you know, as I think about these different ways, sometimes they relate to me, sometimes I'm like, oh, I've seen that in other people. I'll be honest, this is the one that relates to me. One way that when we serve, when our identity is not right, is complaining. Complaining. When my identity is not right and I'm not focused on the goodness of God, why do I have to do this? This is hard. I don't want to do this. How come other people don't have to do it this hard? Come on, right? We've all thought that when we have to serve. But again, it comes back to the identity and understanding the goodness of God. And what he's going to do through us. Well, now, flipping it around to the positive side. When my identity is right, I don't serve out of my own strength. I serve because Christ serves me. He served me on the cross, and he still serves me today through equipping me through the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing I really want you to get. When my identity is right, I don't need anything out of the serving. Excuse me. My serving is worship. I don't need anything out of the serving. I'm not looking for what's in it for me. I simply serve. This is a really hard place to get to, though, I'll admit. Well, I'll get to that. I'll get to that. I don't need anything out of the serving. It's my worship, right? And I'm not looking for anything. But again, it's hard to get to that place. Serving and needing or wanting something out of it except for the good of the other. That's the place we try to get to. This is where Jesus calls us to simply serve because it's what we ought to do and for the good of the other. And if we lack identity, that's really hard to do. Now, here's the thing. When my identity is right and I understand the goodness of God, serving is not one more thing to do. You see, when my identity is not right, I see serving and I see this call to be a servant slave as, oh no, one more thing to do. I got to write that on my list. Be a doulos. But it's not. When our identity is in the right place, it's freedom. There is freedom in serving when our identity is right. And so again, to fulfill this call to be a doulos, to be a deaconess, we have to press into Jesus, allowing him to deal with our issues of insecurity, to allow him to press into us his goodness and that he's with us in this. Now, the second big reason that I think prevents us from getting to this level is fear. Fear. Fear can look a lot of different ways. Just like the enemy can mask those two lies a lot of different ways, fear can look a lot of different ways. I think one of the most important ones is fear of not having enough. I don't have what it takes. Whatever it is, I don't have what it takes to serve at this level. Related to this, if I serve you, will there be anything left for me? If I serve or get out of my little, what's left for me? And so there's this fear, I can't serve you because I don't have anything. But do you see how this is tied back really to the first lie of identity? I haven't fully established the goodness of God, and so I think, therefore, that as I serve you, I'm serving you out of my little rather than his a lot. And so this fear prevents us from serving because we're always seeing it from our perspective of the small resources that we have, not the large resources that he has. Another fear, will I be embarrassed? If I lower myself to the level of servant or slave, what will people think of me? I think people thought pretty well of Mother Teresa. I don't know anyone that went to that level of deaconess, doulos, more than Mother Teresa did. She lowered herself to live on the street with the lepers of our day. And yet people esteemed her. But the enemy will come to us today and try to convince us, oh, you really shouldn't serve that way. People will make fun of you. You'll be embarrassed. What I do is I remind the enemy that Jesus was embarrassed when he hung on the cross of criminals. That wasn't just a cross. That was the cross of criminals. That was where the lowest of the low were executed. Jesus was embarrassed as he served us into the kingdom. So this whole idea of I might be embarrassed if I serve is rooted in a fear that comes from the enemy. Then, of course, there's the fear of serving others that are different. Or there's the fear of going to scary geographic locations. I think of the story of the Good Samaritan. That was someone who was very different culturally. Very different racially and very different religiously. And it was a scary place geographically. And yet Jesus makes it very clear in that story that those differences are not to be a barrier to how we serve others. So again, when we have that fear of, well, this person is different than me, this person is in a scary geographic location, it comes back to not fully believing that God is good. And that if he's good for me, he's good for them. And if he's good in this place, he's good in that place. And I can go to serve this person that's different, and I can go into an environment that doesn't feel safe to me because he's good there too. So again, in order to be able to serve at this level of deaconess and doulos, we have to press into Jesus and ask him to come and to root out what those fears are. Lord, show me, what is this fear? How deep is it? Where does that root of this fear go? And Jesus, bring your cross to that. Bring your healing to that place, to that fear, to that root that prevents me from being able to serve others at the level you've called us to. Now, the third thing that I see that gets in our way, and this is going to rub some people today, I bet. Rights. I have rights. This is a uniquely American issue. How come, as Americans, many Christians are quick to claim their American rights, yet slow to lay down their personal rights for the kingdom of God as Jesus called us to? I hear people say all the time, as an American, I have a right to this, or I have a right to that. As a citizen of the U.S., you probably do. But as a doulos of the kingdom, you don't. Here's the thing. What if you don't live in America? Can you still be a Christian if you don't have that right? If you watch the news today, you would swear that there are people out there in the church who call themselves Christians that would try to argue that we can only be Christians if we have certain rights guaranteed to us by the American government. Really? What about the people who live in a different country that don't have that right? Can they not be Christians? In other nations, people serve Jesus all the way to their own death. Here we argue and protest about rights. The rights given to us by a government don't make us Christian. We are Christian because Jesus gave up all his rights and went to the cross. You won't find Christians in China being held back from serving because they're trying to protect their rights. They don't have any rights, which actually frees them up to be kingdom doulos. In China and many other places of the world, like Iran, they don't have the right to gather in public and worship as we do. And yet their churches are stronger and healthier than ours. The faith of the individual believer is stronger. So what are we fighting for? These rights that we hold so dear, what are we fighting for? What was interesting, as I was preparing this part of the message, and I'm thinking about the Christians, and I am very involved with international missions through the Vineyard, and I know what's happening in Iran, and I know what's happening in China, and as I'm thinking about the things that they have to endure and that they have to suffer, and the freedom that they have to be a kingdom doulos, and the fact that they are not always after their rights, as I'm thinking all of this, as I'm writing all of this, I had music playing in the background. It was music that was streaming online, and all of a sudden, just I realized that the song that's playing, I don't recognize this song. Oh, this song is kind of cool. And so I clicked down my Word doc so I can see what's playing, because it was actually a video, and it was a video about the underground church in China. And I just sat back in my church, and it was just music, and then there was text written across the screen about what they go through. And part of the story was children in places in China where the church is truly underground, they don't bring children until they're 16 years of age. Because once you go to an underground church, you're marked and you can be killed. And so they don't allow their children to go until they're 16 years of age because they feel that at age 16, they can make the decision whether or not they want to die for their faith. And the text that I was reading was written from the age from a person who had just gone to his first service. I turned 16 and I went with my dad to my first meeting of the people of the way. I couldn't believe how powerful it was, it said. There were 17 people there and we worshiped and it was so beautiful and it was so amazing and now I'm prepared to die. And in America, all we do is argue about our rights. Oh, we're losing this right, we're losing that right. Jesus said, be doulos, be deaconos. Can you imagine keeping your children home until they're 16 years of age? Because you know once they go, they could be killed. This is what Jesus calls us to. We have confused our patriotism with our theology. If we have this attitude of rights, it's going to be really hard to be a slave. The very definition of doulos is one who has given up their rights, one who gives himself up to another's will. Jesus had more rights than anyone. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He wrote the book on rights. He's got more rights than anyone. And yet he came and he allowed himself to become doulos all the way to the cross. He gave up his rights. The cross was a violation of his rights. Let's look again at this passage in Luke 17. It says, the slave comes in out of the field and is immediately put to the task of preparing and serving the master's meal. One of the things you missed there is it says in the text, he comes out of the field, come along, now sit down and eat. Would he not rather say, prepare myself, get yourself ready? That little phrase, get yourself ready in the English, means to get clothed properly. Okay? So the slave comes in out of the field having been plowing all day, working the fields in the soil, dirty. Then it says he's to prepare the master's meal. Then he's to change his clothes because you don't come before the master all sweaty and dirty with the working clothes on. So he comes in from the field, he prepares the master's dinner, then he changes clothes, then he comes into the presence of the master and serves the master the meal. Can you imagine that scene with a right's attitude? I deserve a break. Where's my 15-minute break? You have to provide me a uniform. I should get overtime pay for this. Right? That's how the right's view would take this story. Now, listen very carefully. Jesus wasn't telling his followers to work around the clock nonstop. He wasn't telling people to be driven to get things done. He isn't even saying that injustice is okay. He was telling them to serve without rights and attitude. Because that's what he did. There is such freedom in serving without rights. Think about this. When we're trying to serve, when we're trying to serve others, but our identity is not right, or fear is kicking in, or especially with this rights attitude, think of how much energy, personal energy, is wasted trying to defend your rights mentally. I shouldn't have to do this. This is unfair. This is too hard. Why am I the one to have to do this? And it stews and it stews and it stews inside of you. Do you realize how much energy that's using up? But worse yet, when we come into that place of rights attitude, it's agreement with the enemy. Jesus gave up all his rights. Jesus gave up all his rights. So when we identify with rights, we identify with the enemy. And that's another sap on our energy. There's so much freedom in being able to serve from a doulos point of position. Giving up my rights. I have no rights. I have no rights. I have a right to salvation in heaven because Jesus died on the cross. That's it. Now, as Classy brought up, there is the issue of thankfulness. We can be thankful. Jesus isn't saying in this, when the slave comes in from the field, he's just doing his duty. He's just supposed to work and keep working, keep doing your thing. No, he's saying serve without attitude and serve without rights. But we can be thankful. Thank you for helping me that way, Rich. That was really a blessing to me. We can be thankful. We can appreciate what people do. But the very nature, the very definition of doulos is one who does not look for attention. And for the master is not giving prideful attention. There's a big difference between prideful attention, which is what Jesus is talking about, and being thankful. We should be, we ought to be thankful for those who serve. And we ought to express that thanksgiving. But that's not why we serve. And when we do express thanksgiving, we do it in a way that's not prideful or boastful, but genuine and sincere. Now, one more thing. Related to this idea of rights, I have rights, I can't serve. I have actually heard people say they don't deserve me to serve them. I've heard that. Sort of misses the point, doesn't it? We didn't deserve Jesus to die on the cross for us. But now we're going to pick and choose who we think deserves us to serve them? That would be like Jesus hanging on the cross. You over there in the pink shirt? No, not you. Nope. You're not coming to my kingdom. But yet we think we get to pick and choose who is worthy of us to serve them? Again, verse 10. So you too, when you do all things which are commanded of you, we are unworthy slaves. We have only done what we ought to do. We're just doing what ought to do. Jesus is the judge. We just serve as a doulos. You know, last week I said that Jesus has already taken all the glory that there is when he died on the cross. If we try to take glory for ourselves, we're actually taking glory from the enemy Because every ounce of legitimate glory was taken by Jesus on the cross. Because what greater act is there? What could anyone ever do that would warrant more glory than that? It's the same with rights. When Jesus laid down every last right he had as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to go to the cross, he laid down every right. There's no right left. And so what position do we have to claim that we still have some rights? If he laid them all down, then we have to as well. And again, it's agreement with the enemy when we think that we have rights. So I want to just wrap up last week, this week, where we've been so far. It's not about me serving God. He doesn't need me to serve him. Right? God does not need me to serve him. It's not about me serving him. It's not about me serving others. That would be about me getting attention. It's about surrender. Jesus serving others through me. But in order for that to happen, I have to choose, I have to make the conscious choice to be a doulos, to be a slave. Serving then from a place of correct identity, fully understanding the goodness of God and fully understanding that I am good because he created me and died on the cross for me. I can serve because I know that I'm good in Christ. I can bring all my fears to Jesus. Do you think Jesus faced, remember, Jesus was fully human, fully God. Do you think as he faced the cross, maybe there was just a little bit of fear? We see that in the garden, right? It said that he sweat so hard, he sweat blood. I think he faced fear, and I think he faced it down. So if we're facing fear, we can bring it to Jesus and go, Jesus, help me with my fear. Root this out. Root this out in me. And to serve correctly, we have to give up our rights, understanding that Jesus gave up all of his rights. This is what Jesus has called us to. This is important. And I think this is why, you know, I had started this series last Sunday by reading again a brief excerpt from that book, Unchristian. It was a study done by the Barna Group on why so many non-Christians have such a low view of the church. And one of the things that was in that paragraph I read last week is they see the church so self-serving. What if the world were to see a church of doulos? What if the church were to see, what if the world were to see a church that truly lived out what it is that Jesus called us to be, to go and to serve others, putting them first? I'm not serving so I can get something out of that. I'm just serving this because it's what Jesus did. And I'm just following in his footsteps. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. You know, it's funny, I don't often let whoever's leading worship know what I'm preaching on or what songs to pick, because I love to see what God does. And Amy chose this song, Freedom Doxology, this week. I love it. I'm talking about being a doulos, being a slave, because it brings freedom. And they sang this song, Freedom Doxology. There's an irony to the kingdom. Do you see it? Jesus calls us to be a doulos, to be a slave, and yet there's great freedom in that. Because I don't have to bear up under the burden of fear. I don't have to bear up under the burden of rights. Jesus took on that role. He said yes to the doulos three times, remember? When they came into the garden to arrest him, he said yes. And he held out his wrist that they would put the chains of a criminal on him. And then when they took him to the cross, he said yes again as he held out his hands and took nails for our sins. And he said yes. And in so doing, he gave us freedom. Because now we can do what he did without having to pay the price that he paid. And then a third time, he held out his hand to us and said, will you come? Will you surrender to me? Will you follow me? Let's stand and sing this freedom doxology and understanding that as a doulos, we're more free than ever.